I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Hold the hour of power. This is the Lord's Gym. High Energy Catholic Radio. Hey, we want to say a quick prayer for Irma Nava. That's
Amen.
Ruben's mother passed away. Ruben, he's one of the conductors of Jesus 911 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so let us pray in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto Irma Nava, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just talked to Ruben last night, and next Tuesday when he's back in studio, after all the services, he's going to share with you how his mom passed away, and it's very beautiful. And it just goes to show you the promises of Our Lady, the 15 promises of the Rosary, the way the Lord will give you a happy death if you live your Catholic faith. So I'm going to let Ruben share the story on Tuesday, which he shared to me. Terry, what's going on?
Well, Jesse, I'm excited. Tomorrow's the big feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, so we're going to have a special show talking about the promises of the Sacred Heart. But, Jess, every single day, for those who are brand-new listeners, we take the gospel of the daily readings at Mass, and I think Jess does a fine job, what we call exegesis. He's teaching you what the Scripture means in a very practical way. So we're going to be reading from today's Gospel of Matthew. And I got to recommend the Gospel of Matthew right here in this chapter 6, 7, 8, and on is real fundamental teachings of the church. So we're going to take Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 29. Jess?
The theme of this gospel is called The House Built on a Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Or is your house built upon sand? That's a question that all of us have to ask ourselves. And here's what it says. This is our Lord speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell upon that house, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So let me jump a couple of verses that jump out at me. Verse 22, where our Lord talks about on that day. What's he talking about? The particular judgment. Okay? Jesus is the divine judge. He's our Savior, but he's also the judge. Based on Scripture, Matthew 25, 31 to 46, John 5, 25 to 29, Jesus will be our judge, 2 Corinthians 5, 10. You'll go through the first judgment at the particular judgment when you die, and then the general judgment at the end of time when Christ comes back. But the end time judgment just basically ratifies
Confirms the particular judgment. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Now, so what's Jesus here talking about? He's talking about sanctifying grace. God's sanctifying grace, it gives your soul life and it makes it fit for heaven. And it's the grace of divine sonship. That's what you receive. And it's manifested through conformity with the Father's will by knowing and obeying Jesus. In Catholic tradition, sanctifying grace is distinct from the graces that are manifest through miraculous works such as prophecy and exorcism. These are known as charismatic graces that are also heavenly gifts but they're not conclusive of one's personal holiness or membership in the family of God. In other words, you can have charismatic grace and still go to hell, because what you need is sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is that vertical relationship with God. Horizontal or charismatic grace, it helps you build the body of Christ. Now, Jesus talks about this wise man in verse 24, okay? Mm-hmm. So what he's saying here is that true wisdom puts the teachings of Jesus Christ into practice and prepares for the future. And notice the way he talks about this house. This parable reflects the building conditions back at the time of Christ in New Testament Palestine. Houses were made of mud brick, and they were generally built during the dry season. But when you had those heavy rains over in Palestine, only the houses with a solid foundation resisted erosion and ultimate destruction. And so Jesus here, his reference is to the wise man and his house. He's also talking about King Solomon here, because the Bible says that he was known for his wisdom, and the Bible says that he built the Lord's house upon a great foundation stone back in 1 Kings 5:17. And so how does this speak to us morally? Well, morally, our house is our soul is like a house.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If we built our soul upon Christ, grounded on Jesus Christ, we're going to get through this life and into heaven. But if we're fools, and if we don't build our soul's foundation upon Jesus Christ, guess what? Jesus Christ is going to say on Judgment Day, I don't know you. I never knew you. And finally, verse 29 about the whole thing of authority, it basically tells us that Jesus Christ, he's like a new Moses. He delivered a new teaching, which is a perfect teaching. The fact of the matter is, nobody taught like Jesus. Nobody will ever teach like Jesus. He's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there will ever be.
Jesse, well said. I'm going to just say, keep your eyes on Jesus and not on the world. Okay, I want to bring Bishop Sheen in on that with that bullet train. Full Sheen ahead. Bishop Sheen says we can lose our souls not only by doing evil. That's one way, but also by neglecting the good. Jesse, that comment by Fulton Sheen is reaffirming Saint Pope Felix III. I continually quote, and this is where we're dealing. He says, not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend the truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. And here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, we constantly are addressing worldly views and saying how they're contrary to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and what has taught for 2,000 years. Why do we do that? Because we don't want you to get your eyes off of Jesus. We don't want the world influencing you more than Jesus Christ. So that's my take on that scripture also, Jess.
Terry, we're going to move on to the Amazon Synod.
Oh, boy.
That's and I'll tell example. You one of the things that concerns me.
What is it?
Is that as Catholic Christians, our job has always been for 2,000 years to evangelize the world.
Yep.
And that includes pagans.
Of course.
So what is paganism? Paganism is the belief in false gods. And so over in the Amazon, in that part of the world, paganism is alive and well.
Oh, yeah.
They worship false gods.
And what else do they do, Jesse?
Yeah, we're going to get into the detail, but let me look at what St. Paul says. And I say this because I wish some of the cardinals and the bishops that are going out there, I wish they would reread St. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because he gives a marching order what are pagans and how dangerous this is. Because as we get into the next couple of segments, some of the prelates in the church are very soft on paganism. In fact, we're going to share from their own words. They're saying, hey, we could learn from these pagans. They could evangelize us. That's one of the comments one of them made.
What?
Let me tell you what St. Paul says about if St. Paul was invited to the Pan Am Synod, here's what he would say, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, therefore, my beloved, shun the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the practice of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? In other words, it's saying that when you eat whatever comes from the altar, you become one with it. Mm-hmm. That's why when we receive the Eucharist, we become one with Christ. That's what St. Paul is saying here. And he goes, are not those who eat the sacrifices partakers in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply, that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. Mm-hmm. I do not want you to be partners with demons. So St. Paul is arguing any religious cult, especially out there in the Pan-Amazon, Terry, this is the worship of demons.
Of course it is.
We call it pagans, you know, in a nice way. Yeah. St. Paul says what it is demons. We can't learn anything from people that worship demons. I beg to differ as we get into these articles.
I agree. When we come back, we'll talk more about it, because these are people who are sacrificing their children to the idols of gods. I mean, this is so bad that when we get into it, you're going to be shocked. But I just want to encourage you to pray for Holy Mother of the Church tonight at 7 p.m. I'll be there before the Blessed Sacrament for 2 hours praying for the Pope, the bishops. I'd love to have you join me here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Charity and clarity are being proclaimed here. And the Word of God that Jess just gave us from St. Paul. I want to preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry, give us a quick overview of what you believe
Yeah, not what I
is the problem with what's going, what's happening, or going to happen in October 2019.
Well,
at the forthcoming Senate on the Amazon, if you could break it down,
I'll break
what
it down.
Would you say are some of the things that are problematic?
Okay, the problematic points are is that we're trying to go to a pagan culture of maybe 30,000-40,000 people who are into witchcraft. They're into eating their enemies' bones to get. Sacrificing that. They're into killing, if you have a baby, a twins, you kill one of them. They're sacrificing infanticide. Their children, infanticide. They're doing all kinds of things that we call pagan, and that's a nice word of saying it, but it's demonic, okay? Because that's what the devil loves to see. So here's the challenge and that I see, is that we're coming at it from the approach that people like the Aztec Indians in Mexico from 500 years ago, if we had this attitude then, Mexico wouldn't be a Catholic nation. Christianity would not be proclaimed. So here's what I'm concerned with, that we're looking on a natural level of some pagans who, yes, live off the ground, live off the land. And I'm all for that they can live off the land. That's great. But, you know, the projections of all this saying that we're losing land in the Amazon, it's just a lot of the stuff they're saying, scientists have proven that it's just not true. So here's my concern, Jess, that we're majoring on something we're not really well prepared to talk about, and that is how the earth replaces itself. For example, I'll just give an example, and I'll throw it back to you, but the example is that they say in the New York Times reported that we're losing one for every acre of rainforest cut down. The 450 acres of new forest are growing in the tropics. And this is so true that when the Holy Father and the archbishops and the bishops are coming and saying, hey, we're going to only have one lung. If we get rid of the forest here, the oxygen levels won't be high. Wrong. The scientists have shown us that they want to know where the oxygen in the earth comes from. There's places in Russia and other places that bring much more oxygen. This whole article from LifeSite News explains all that. But here's the big kicker that I'm mostly concerned about, Jess. I want our church to do what was mandated by Jesus Christ. That's all I'm asking. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't tell me about preserving the earth. I have solar panels. I recycle. Tell me, more importantly, how I can preserve my soul for heaven. That's the key that the church is, that's the mandate why Jesus Christ founded the church, not for the environment, but for the salvation of souls. So I'm humbly asking our prelates from the top up to focus more on the salvation of souls. And I tell you why, Jess, they're just following up with what has happened in 53 years of evangelization of these people. No one, as you said yesterday, has become Catholic. Why? Because they're saying, oh, isn't it nice that they do all these pagan practices and they're still our friends? They don't kill us. Well, what's the point of evangelization? And I'm saying right now, we got to go back to the good old evangelization that says, let's proclaim Jesus Christ to them so they can get to heaven. And stop this nonsense. I'm going to call it nonsense, Jess, that talks about preserving the Amazon and not focusing on preserving a soul for heaven. I think we're out of line, and I've never said it publicly, but I'm saying it now. I think our church needs to go back to the fundamentals of what the church has always taught on evangelization, because what's happening here is the world is influencing us, not the other way around, while Jesus Christ is influencing the world. So that's my take, and I'll leave you on one more line, and then I'll throw it back. Our buddy Steve Mosner has a great article on LifeSite News that lays it all out with documentation.
We'll grab some of those things. Right?
And we will. But bottom line, Jess, is we're all mixed up because we think falsely that evangelization is not converting people to Jesus Christ, but just being friends and learning their pagan practices. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. I'm done.
You know what? A Catholic should be more concerned with the pollution of the soul.
Absolutely.
Than the pollution of the environment.
Bishop Athanasius said that.
Yeah.
Snyder.
Here we have the prelates more concerned with the environment than the soul.
We're out of balance.
I think a lot of what's going to be happening in the Senate and the Amazon, they're going to be focusing on the ecology and also our relationship between Christianity and the indigenous cultures. But it seems to me like they're forgetting the church's
mandate,
social doctrine, Terry, which is the dignity of the human person, not Absolutely. The dignity of the rainforest.
Jesse, let me just put it to you this way. If I came up to you and said, Jesse Romero, my name's Terry Barber. I want to give you, I want to help you in your life. Can I give you some housing? Yeah. Can you feed me? Yeah. Can you take care of my health care? Yeah. And I don't have to do anything? No, I'm just going to give you all this stuff for nothing. That's a disservice, because what they're doing to you, Jesse, and I'm doing it, is giving you something for nothing, and I'm just going to make you just not focus on the meaning and purpose of life. What I think we should be doing is, once we give them Jesus Christ and get them into being able to receive sanctifying grace, then all the other things follow. I think we're missing, we're putting many things ahead of teaching them about the meaning and purpose of life, because what we're teaching them is that this is the only life to worry about, being a good pagan. Don't talk about Jesus. We don't have to do that. Well, they've done that for 53 years. Come on, man. The jury's out. This is a false way of teaching the faith. They're not teaching the faith. You know what they're teaching them? Just to be nice. And that doesn't get you to heaven.
Terry, they're moving towards the social sciences.
Of course.
Ecology, the environment, instead of the soul.
Yes.
The Catholic Church is an expert at getting people to heaven, the salvation of the soul. And it seems to me, under the pontificate of Pope Francis, in fact, this article says that one can say that the Church's social doctrine is the great absentee of the pontificate of Pope Francis. His teachings on immigration, ecology, globalism, the economy, and so many other issues never seem to refer to the Church's social doctrine. It also says here that if these concepts are not used to build a human community according to God's plan, the action of Christians around the world can easily follow trendy and stronger ideologies improperly informed by the social sciences and based on sentimental charity. In other words, that little line says, if we're not teaching these Amazon Indians who God is and how to get to heaven and the meaning and purpose of life, all we're doing is giving them social justice solutions or social justice warrior solutions, then what we're doing, we're not building a community under God's plan. And look at what it says here. Solidarity with the poor, the purity of primitive religions polluted by Western progress, the faults of evangelization in the Americas, the fundamental importance of the Amazon forest for the production of oxygen against the greenhouse effect, and on and on. These seem to be some of the things that the bishops are going to be bringing over to this synod. But I like the fact that Pope Benedict years ago, in an encyclical called Caritas in Veritate, he warned us about falling into this just dialogue with pagans and learning from them and just having this horizontal theology based on the social sciences. He says, as for the cultural argument, church social doctrine posits that primitive, animist, and pagan cultures enslave people.
He nailed it.
Whereas the gospel frees people.
Amen.
Pope Benedict writes, the correct relationship between man and nature is not that of primitive peoples who deny man's superiority over the whole creation by his likeness to God. Pope Benedict taught, those primitive cultures express a religion of myth, while a Christian is a child of the Logos, the Word, who became flesh. Pope Benedict says the neo-pagan culture of advanced Western societies is easily attracted by affinity to the primitive paganism of the Amazonian natives. However, the Christian vision correctly denies this false vision of society. A fashion show recently held in Rome by a famous designer featured primitive pagan elements and praised the Tarpeian rock, where people were executed by being thrown off of it. While modern culture has many neo-pagan elements, its development did not come from paganism and will not come from the primitive tribes of the Amazon region. Indeed, these primitive peoples have the right to know Jesus, the Logos. They have the right to know the truth, both human and Christian.
Jesse, well said, Pope Benedict XVI. It's a lack of charity not to give anyone the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask, how many Bibles have been given to those pagans? How many teachings about who Jesus, a person of Jesus Christ is, has been given to these pagans? You know what, Jess? None. They don't want to talk. It's stealth Catholicism. And it's not Catholicism. It's paganism. And the other question I have, a comment is, you guys all remember Cardinal Seurat? He's one of the great cardinals in our church. In his book, The Beauty of Silence, he talks about the missionaries from France coming to Africa and teaching his mom and dad about the centrality of Jesus Christ and that their whole family was baptized into the faith. Cardinal Seurat wouldn't be a Cardinal Seurat if they approached it like these knuckleheads. I'm sorry, I'm calling them. I call them something stronger, but I'm on the radio. They're knuckleheads who are trying to evangelize through not preaching Jesus Christ. That doesn't work. Cardinal Seurat wouldn't be here today, and many other saints, and hundreds of thousands of years of evangelization. We got to go back to the fundamentals. Jess, I'll just leave it this way. You were a boxer when you were a younger man, okay? And what did you always teach the guys? Major on the fundamentals. Well, what happened in our church?
Master the basics.
Right, basics. The last 50 years, we forgot about the fundamental teachings of Christ with the Bible, with the sacraments, and we replaced it with sociology. That's my take.
And there you go. Bingo, you nailed it. See, Terry, and the church is not an expert in sociology.
No.
Let's just be honest. The church is not an expert on the social sciences. In fact, all this stuff, Terry, about the environment and ecology has nothing to do with fundamental Catholic teaching. And a lot of this stuff is still being hotly debated by scientists as climate change and global warming.
Of course, it's not.
Because it's not settled science. Exactly. That's why. And so the Pope's opinion on climate change and the Amazon forest, this is not an issue on faith and moral.
No,
this has nothing
Cardinal
to
Pell
do with
that.
Fundamental Catholic dogma.
Yeah.
Because climatology and the ecology, it's not theology. And so this is sociology, and the churches, we're not experts in this. No Catholic is bound to believe anything outside of faith and morals. And I'll tell you, Terry, this is what got Cardinal Pell in trouble.
That's exactly what got him.
Because about a week after the Pope came out with his encyclical, his papal encyclical, Laudate Si, Cardinal Pell says, quote, the church is not an expert on science. And it was funny, a few days after that, he gets a phone call from Australia. Hey, you got charges pending from 30 years ago. You got to go stand trial.
Yeah, he didn't run and stay in Rome. He went and he said, fine, I'll be right there. Let me deal with my accusers like our Lord did. We'll be back with much, much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
As Catholics, we should be more concerned with the pollution of the soul
than
the pollution of the environment. Not that, of course, we care about planet Earth. We're called to be wise stewards of what God gave us. But boy, oh boy, God didn't die to save a piece of dirt. He died to save the human souls.
That's right.
We're talking about the Amazon Synod. Terry, there's about 300,000 people that live out there.
Yes.
And they're all hunters, they're gatherers, they're shamanists, they're pagans. They worship false gods. They're still practicing hideous things like the Aztecs did 500 years ago.
That's right.
This is the Aztec Empire all over again.
Of course.
And so these Amazonian indigenous people, look at what Cardinal Barreto, he's given a detailed outline. He said this, that we as Catholics, we should listen to the Amazonian indigenous. They will save not only the Catholic Church, but the planet itself.
Okay, who's he talking about?
Is this microphone on?
Yeah, really.
This cardinal, by the way,
what's he been smoking?
Jesuit himself, Terry. He's very close to the Pope.
Yeah.
He's telling us that we have to listen to these Amazonian pagans. They're going to save the church.
I don't understand that. I mean, what's he been smoking, Jesse? This is ridiculous.
The Cardinal Barreto, he doesn't sound real different from like the Democrat Party. I'm not kidding you.
That's true.
You know, from these left-leaning environmentalists like AOC, this congresswoman. The cardinal advises us as Catholics to listen, quote, to the cries of the land, to the care for creation, and specifically to protect the Amazonian rainforest.
Yes.
In other words, my question is, does Cardinal Barreto know what he's talking about?
Well,
and I say this, and here's why I say
that. Fact checks. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's true that of the original 7.5 million square kilometers of rainforest, about 20% has been cleared of its original vegetation. But the land is not simply clear-cut and abandoned.
No, they're farming.
It's used for other productive purposes like growing food crops and grazing animals.
Of course.
Moreover, given the year-round growing season in the tropics, deforestation is hardly a one-way street.
Nope.
Indeed, any tract of farmland or grassland left untended immediately starts reverting to rainforest. This means that there's a lot of reforestation going on each year in the tropics as well. In fact, how much reforestation is going on?
Just a fact.
The New York Times has reported the following, quote, by one estimate, for every acre of rainforest cut down each year, more than 50 acres of new forests are growing in the tropics, close quote.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, somebody needs to tell Cardinal Barreto that the rainforests in the world are doing just fine.
And Jesse, the cardinal also claims that much of the world's oxygen comes from the Amazon is equally bogus. I'm sorry, Cardinal. You know what? Stay on your topic, which is the salvation of souls. It's like somebody like I was a professional umpire. I have some novice come in and tell me how the rules of baseball are applied when you haven't been trained. This is not his expertise. Now, as a one-time marine biologist, Stephen Mosner says, I can say with relative certainty that 70% of the oxygen in the atmosphere is produced by marine plants, particularly those single-cell plants. Okay? So if only 30% of the Earth's oxygen is produced on land, what percentage of this is attributed to the Amazon? Hardly any. It turns out, scientists say, since our organic matter produced by old-growth rainforest decays almost immediately, Nearly all the oxygen that plants produce is reabsorbed. Update your files, man. That means that the Amazon is a kind of a sink in the scientific sense for oxygen. While a great deal is produced through photosynthesis, very little escapes the basin. Rainforests in general contribute little net oxygen to the atmosphere. See, Jesse, he says if you want to know what land contributes the most oxygen, Bishop, Cardinals, look to Russia and taiga, the boreal forest of Canada and the world's grasslands. Jesse, it's so embarrassing to have to say this. They need to know their material before they speak.
Put it out, exactly. Yeah, Steve Mosher says, these are the real lungs of the earth, not the Amazon, and they are in no danger of disappearing. So these breathless warnings about impending environmental collapse have long been a staple of radical green propaganda. And what is new is that these leading prelates of the Catholic Church are joining the doomsday chorus of the left.
Yeah.
Sounds and here Stephen says,
as a layman,
I am merely a layman and a convert, but it seems to me that the leaders of the Catholic Church should expend their time and energy saving souls.
Well said.
Rather than preaching what is patent scientific nonsense.
I'll
give you an example of this patent nonsense.
Yes.
We've had Catholic missionaries in the Amazonian indigenous lands for decades.
Yes.
And they've bragged. This one priest,
the Italian priest.
I'm going to put his name up here.
Pray for him.
Yeah, Father Dalmolego.
Yeah.
He's a missionary out in that area, and he's got a few nuns that are helping
him. Three of them, yeah.
He's bragging, it sounds like he's bragging, that he's baptized no Amazon indigenous pagan in 53 years.
But they haven't killed me. I'm friends with them. Go ahead.
So this is what the flawed evangelization by the left.
Yeah, it is.
It's just this. We sit across and we just dialogue. But nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. Your pagan opinion about killing your babies if you have twins and eating your victims.
Gosh.
That, you know what? No, that's not wrong. That's just your custom. That's
You're
your
entitled
opinion.
To it.
You're, yeah, and my opinion may be different from yours, but all of our opinions are equal. We're just dialoguing. Harry, that's liberalism 101, and that's been a failed experiment. And this is the perfect example of the failed experiment of post-Vatican II liberal evangelization, where nobody's right, nobody's wrong. You don't call anybody to repentance. You don't tell anybody about the person of Jesus Christ. You just sit there and dialogue and hear about the way they eat their babies and eat their victims. And you're not going to make a judgment. You're going to say, you know something? That's wrong. And you need to stop. There's a Savior. His name's Jesus. He died for your sins. There's no need to sacrifice any other human beings. You know that when you die, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. You've got to get right with the only Savior of the world. None of that's proclaimed, Terry. It's just dialogue.
Well said, Jesse. And think of the thousands, if not millions, of souls that have not been introduced to the person of Jesus Christ because of that approach. That's why I'm standing up right now, Jess. I am upset that we're not teaching about Jesus and we're teaching about the environment. This is ridiculous. Hey, we've got Lou up in Northern California calling in. Lou, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah. Hi. Great show. Great topic.
Thanks, Lou.
I just wanted to kind of comment, you know, that of course the way it's kind of the narrative is kind of projected. It's kind of like, you know, we don't care about creation. We should care more about creation. I think as Catholics, we do acknowledge that. I mean, in scripture, it kind of talks about,
correct,
I think in Luke somewhere. In Luke, it talks about how the flowers and God takes care of the birds and
amen.
Flowers. How much more will he take care of you? And
yep.
So obviously creation is important, but I think it's important to note too that there is hierarchy and order to creation. So if you go right back to Genesis, the creation account, there is order, but there's also hierarchy.
Yep.
You know, certain things are created first and then, and of course the pinnacle is humanity.
Sure.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, when she appeared to a similar kind of people, an indigenous people that did not have the gospel.
Yeah.
And right on the image itself, you can look right at Our Lady of Guadalupe's image. You have kind of the message that we should be preaching to indigenous people about creation, that it is important. She has a garden on her clothing.
Yeah.
There's a moon, there's sun, there's stars.
Sure.
But that's not, they're not more important. In other words, it shouldn't be disordered or taken out of the hierarchy that God has given it to us.
Right.
My question to you guys, if you have a comment on this, is how would you respond to those groups of people who sometimes will throw out, say, for instance, like St. Francis, and they'll say, oh, well, he had, you know, he spoke about Brother Moon and or Brother Sun and Sister Moon, and he was kind of, they kind of try to say that he was kind of like a tree-hugging kind of a saint, hippie kind of a saint.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. And so we should be more like him and maybe not eat meat and that kind of thing, right? So I was just wondering if you guys had comments.
Boy, do I have a comment.
Things I just mentioned.
Thank you, Lou.
Yeah, Terry's going to be a Franciscan.
Yeah, exactly.
Terry definitely got a comment.
I definitely have a, he was a model, St. Maximian Kolbe. I love the outdoors, okay? You'll see me always hiking, and I'm a bird watcher. I feed birds. I got animals. So I'm into that, right? But you know what? It's a prior. It's prioritizing it all. I don't worship planet Earth. I worship Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean I abuse my animals? No! My dogs, my chickens, my horse, all those animals? No! So I just think, Lou, that these ideas about worshiping the environment is out of balance. I think God gave us the beauty of nature to see a reflection of his love for us. That's my take. How about yours, Jess?
Lou, he was all, St. Francis was also a foremost evangelizer.
Big time.
Especially when you read what he told the Sultan.
Exactly.
You got a false religion. If you don't come to Christ, you're going to perish. He was no. When you talk like that to a Muslim, and he's got 5,000 soldiers behind him, and you're by himself.
That takes guts.
That's not a tree hugger right there.
Nope.
So people forget St. Francis the Evangelist. And also I would say this. Of course, as Catholics, we're called to be wise stewards of the environment and planet Earth. It's in the Bible. That's Old and New Testament teaching.
Yep.
The point is keep your eye on the ball. Here's what the liberals, the religious and political liberals, are trying to do. Okay? Here's what they're trying to do. They're turning this into a religion.
Exactly.
That's what they're doing.
Well said.
And why do they want to turn this into religion, this whole climate change, global warming, ecology? I'll tell you why. Because all that talk, that's a lot of smoke and mirrors about, oh, we, you know, the environment, we love. What they want to do, Lou, they want to advance a phony science to achieve an evil agenda. And these Catholic liberals, prelates, they're part of it. Okay? What do they want to do? Ultimately, with this garbage science, which is basically political, the real agenda is political, they want population control.
Well,
that's what they want. So if they can convince us that we're damaging the earth, there's the carbon footprint is too big, we're going to start reducing having babies. I'll get back to that.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I can't imagine Terry Barber or myself living somewhere for 53 years and bragging. I've never evangelized anybody. Nobody knows Jesus. I'd be embarrassed. You know what I would do? Terry, you know, when I was a cop and a cop would do something real stupid, we'd say, take off your uniform, man. Take it off. You don't just, you know what this guy should do, this priest? Take off your uniform. Yeah. Take it off. You don't deserve that Roman collar.
Not when you're not doing your duty.
But let me tell you why there's this big push, this
here it comes.
Amazonian synod, and this whole push by the left, religious and political left, and they're one of the same. They're connected by the hips because the political left funds the religious left.
Yep.
This whole man-made climate change, ecology, environment, carbon footprint, global warming, all this they're trying to start a false parallel religion, a religion of the earth. And so they use all this, the politics of science, and they use a lot of junk science because the real goal, Terry, is population control.
You nailed it. That's what Stephen Mosier said.
Because, you know, when you listen to this rhetoric, all the world's rich and powerful, these are the ones that are using their money to socially engineer these plans to push governments and even push the bishops and the Vatican to have this one goal in mind, this short-term goal, which is, how are we going to end poverty? By ending people.
Your people.
Hey, how do you end people? You end the poor. You end poverty by ending the poor. So how do you end the poor? More abortion, more contraception. We'll contracept the poor out of existence through abortion and contraception. And guess what? This whole climate change and ecology religion, this is nothing more than Margaret Sanger and her birth control movement being reincarnated, Terry. I'm done.
Hey, Jesse, just to prove your point, if I was a journalist at this particular synod, I would ask each cardinal, whether it's Cardinal Barreto and all the prelates, one question. Do you embrace Humanae Vitae? And I'm gonna make a prediction, Jesse. Every single one of those prelates at this event are gonna say, I qualify that. Not really, I don't. See, here's the point, Jesse. These men that are at this event are gonna
be
modernists. Let's call it for what it is. They've compromised the faith when it comes to the fecundity of bringing forth new life. They make it sound like someone might even say, don't breed like rabbits, okay?
The Pope said that, Terry, a couple of...
All right, well, I've heard other people say that, too. But you know what? I don't agree. See, that's the point. This is derogatory. The Bible, the church has taught for 2,000 years, be fruitful and multiply. I'm going to make it this way, Jess. Think about this. Your three kids, they all have... they have their own families now. They're married. They've got jobs. They're producing income on the level of paying taxes. They're contributing to the society. This is what we need. We don't need this idea that, don't have any kids because guess what? They're going to bring forth too much cost. You know what? It's just the opposite. Try selling your product without a customer. We have a problem with the idea that we don't want children. They have a phobia right now of children. Yeah. And that's wrong.
Right.
That's wrong.
Amen. Terry, we're going to move to another topic real quick. I'm going to ask our Mr. Engineer.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to hear.
That's amazing.
There's a Canadian clinical psychologist and professor of psychology at the University of Toronto. His name's Jordan Peterson. Mm-hmm. And he's becoming very famous because he's openly criticizing
his
going
industry.
From one radio show to another television show. he's gone rogue, but in a good way, because he's openly criticizing political correctness, right, Marxism, and postmodernism,
yep,
especially as taught in colleges and universities. He's like a John the Baptist. He's saying, all of us here in our colleges, we're teaching political correctness, progressive thought, liberalism, Marxism, and it's got to stop. And so he's getting he's getting a lot of traction because he's going against his entire, the entire academia, yep, so to speak.
Yep.
I want you to hear him being interviewed by Dennis Prager as Dennis Prager asks him, well, what do you think about Catholicism? He's not Jordan Peterson is not Catholic.
Nope.
He doesn't say what he is, but you can tell he's a Protestant of some sort. He's a Protestant Christian. But I want you to hear this clip, interview of Dennis Prager with Jordan Peterson.
One day, walking through Columbia, the only time I ever had, I wouldn't say I never had a theophany, but I did have an epiphany. All of a sudden, one of the verses from my yeshiva education in Brooklyn, New York, the cloistered Orthodox world of my childhood, and I don't use cloistered, and I don't like cloistered, but I'm not using it in a pejorative way. I'm just explaining what I had. And all of a sudden, one of the verses that we said every morning in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, for the first time since second grade, came to my brain. Rishit chachma yirat Adonai. Wisdom begins with fear of the Lord. Changed my life. There's no wisdom at Columbia because there's no God at Columbia. And that has been, that is one of the ways I knew, oh, without God, look what happens. Without God, look what happens morally, intellectually, in terms of wisdom. And my biggest reasons for belief in God are watching what happens when people don't. So I'd love to have your reaction.
Is it C.S. Lewis? Was it C.S. Lewis who said that if you cease to believe in God, you'll start to believe in anything?
That was the British guy.
Chesterton.
Yeah, Chesterton.
Thank you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way of looking at it. I mean, if Catholicism, you know, I've gone through lots of Catholic cathedrals in Europe, and of course they're stunning creations, but they're Gothic and strange, and the doctrine is eerie and complex and surreal, and the biblical writings are the same. You think of a book like Revelation, for example. But I think that the Catholicism, that's as sane as people can get.
Wow.
No,
wow.
Powerful.
Broadly speaking, is that we need a metaphysic, a narrative metaphysic to hold us together. And it has to be predicated on something that's transcendent and absolute. And if you lose that, then you'll fall for something else. You'll fall for something else. Or you'll fall for nothing, which is no better.
Wow.
Stop right there.
Jesse. That's
now, Jordan Peterson, he's not Catholic, but he has in other interviews that I've seen, he claims to be a Christian, yes, a Protestant Christian.
Mm-hmm.
With that statement, look what he says when Prager is asking him about, you know, about God, about his belief in God. And obviously, you know, he says that he does believe in God. But look at what the statement he says. But I think Catholicism, that's as sane as people can get. That statement tells me, Terry, he's on his way in.
Yeah, he understands.
God is working in his heart.
Sure.
But notice what he said here. He says, because I've heard him on other shows, he says Catholicism has the best metaphysical narrative to hold us together. So what's he saying? He's saying this. Catholicism has the best explanation for the meaning and purpose of life. That's what he said. That's what that fancy word means. We need a metaphysical narrative to hold us together. And he says, what he means by that, he's saying that Catholicism, of all the religions in the world that he's looked at, and this guy's a clinical psychologist who's got a PhD, obviously, but he's also got postdoctoral degree.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's very learned and very well read.
Yep.
And, but he's saying when you look at all the world views, he's saying Catholicism is the one that makes sense the most. It holds everything together. And I could tell you the Catholic metaphysic, and I'll make it simple so you can learn it in four C's.
Yeah.
Four C's. Here it is. Creation, number two, corruption, number three, catastrophe, number four, Christ. I'm going to make it very simple. Catholics, metaphysical worldview, creation, okay? That's Genesis 1. This is where God, he brings being and time and matter and energy and space and life. Everything comes together out of nothing in this paradise of perfect peace according to his divine plan. Then we got the next thing. Corruption, Genesis 3. God who creates the first man and woman, and we see how human evil was ruined by the devil. The devil came in and convinced Adam and Eve to disobey God, and this brought about corruption, disease, disaster, death. The third point, C, catastrophe. In Genesis 7, the world became so evil that God sent a worldwide flood because man became so wicked, and God destroyed the wickedness of the ancient world, and he gave it a fresh start through Noah and his family members who survived on the ark. And then finally, the last C is Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. That's what we're always saying. We preach Christ crucified, 1 Corinthians 1:22 and 23. It is Christ who conquered death by dying, and by his own power, he came back to life after 3 days, and now he's given us eternal life, the promise of eternal life, and one day he will come back to judge the living and the dead and to restore everything, what St. John calls the new heavens and the new earth. So the Catholic metaphysic is you have creation by God, you have corruption by man, and you have catastrophe by man, and then you got Christ. And Terry, I guess a simpler way to say it, to put it simpler, is we call it the good news. This
That's
is the metaphysic.
Right. That's
okay?
Right.
The good news is that man does not have to suffer an eternity without God because God himself has provided himself as the Savior. He became incarnate. And so those who have faith, hope, and trust in God, you will be saved. And those who don't have faith, hope, and trust in God incarnate, Jesus Christ, you'll be damned.
That's it.
And the heart of the good news is this, is salvation can be had by everybody on earth.
That's right.
But I'll tell you, like Scott Hahn says, while God loves us unconditionally, that means anybody can be saved. God does not save us unconditionally. It requires cooperation from us. That means repent, turn away from your sin, all sin, and believe in the gospel.
Amen. Give God permission to come into your life. Tomorrow, we're going to have a special edition on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The feast day is coming tomorrow. Get to confession. If you haven't been to confession in a long time, go. Tomorrow, we'll have a special edition on that. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Live a sacramental life. Live a life of prayer. Live a life of faith. Let's get to heaven all together. Cross that finish line.
Well said. I want to say a prayer for Jordan Peterson that he become Catholic. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, Lord, thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand. Sinful and sorrowful, O Mother of Word Incarnate, despise not our petition. God love you all.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.